Aren't you glad we got the Bible? Let's dig into the Bible tonight. If you'd like to stand with us, let's open up to Luke chapter number 10. I'll try to speak up and then shut up, but you know, it's easier to let the cat out of the bag than to put it back in the bag. So we'll be careful in what we say and try to say what the Lord would have us to say here in Luke chapter number 10. Very familiar passage. Luke chapter number 10. We'll begin in verse number 25. Luke chapter number 10. And verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the Scriptures. This is a great passage of Scripture, and as we picked up the story in verse number 25, there's a lawyer here that tempts Christ, and he begins to interact with Jesus Christ, and Jesus, as he gets into this conversation with the lawyer, he answers him and actually reproves him by telling him this story. The Lord is a great Aikido master. The Lord can take something you're going through and you have an agenda and you have a plan and you think you're going to push things this way, and the Lord will take it and He'll begin to tell a story. He'll begin to put you through things in life, and then He'll get you to a place where you see yourself. And that's exactly what He did with this lawyer here, and He reproves him by telling him this story. Notice, if you will, this story is a story of ruin. It's a story of rejection. But thank God it's a story of redemption. What a great passage. I think about some of the parables Jesus told, and out of several of them, I think about the prodigal son probably as the top story of all time. But then this one ranks right up there with them. The story of the Good Samaritan. Really, I want to hopefully give some application for us personally, and I want to try to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit here tonight. Because when you think about some things that have transpired all through the week, we had a great service last night where we laid hands on the heads of these men and ordained them to the gospel ministry. And as we did that, I couldn't help but think about some of the men that have laid their paws on my head and prayed for me. And then I began to think about some of the men that might have laid their hands on those guys' heads. And then I began to think how that thing went back, and it went back, and it went back, all the way to that time when Jesus spent all night in prayer. And then He comes out the next morning, and He gets His men out there, His disciples, and He ordains them to the gospel ministry. You know, we have a goodly heritage. You know, you think about God in your life, you say, Preacher, I'm not a preacher, I haven't had hands laid on me. But you know what? Somebody touched you. Somebody in life, in flesh and blood, God had touched them, and they touched your life. I stand here today as a testimony of people's lives that have passed down and transpired and touched my life. I told you my story before. He mentioned my dad and he mentioned my brother. My brother basically preached at me, and that's why I got saved. My brother, as a little kid, he grabbed a hold of me and says, "You need to get saved. You're going to go to hell." He scared the fire out of me. And so when my dad came home, I asked my dad about how to be saved, and my dad led me to the Lord in our living room. But you know, the story goes back further than that. It goes back further on like a Tuesday or a Thursday morning back in the day when a lot of the ladies stayed at home and so forth, and some ladies on church visitation knocked on my parents' door and led my mother to the Lord. Either that Sunday or the following Sunday, my dad went to church and he got saved. You say, because of what? Well, you had a church that didn't close the doors. You had a pastor that had a vision with ministry. You had people that said, "Hey, if nobody else will go, we'll go. Where will you go? We'll go down there. We'll go knock on some doors." Well, isn't it kind of out of your comfort zone to knock on a door? Yeah, but we'll do it. Here we are. So, well, preacher, you know, we believe God does everything. Yeah, but He uses each and every one of us. And He puts a hand here, and He puts a hand here, and He puts a hand here, and He puts a hand here. And here we are. I think about that every time when we have Lord's Supper, and we sit around the table, the Lord's Supper table, and we pass that thing. I say, you know, we've been doing this generation after generation after generation, all the way back to the disciples. What an amazing thing. The Lord puts some things in our lives. And as we look at this story, we can see that He's not just dealing, thank God, with what God does, but He deals with our part in God doing something. Aren't you glad God's good? Aren't you glad God can reach farther down than you can reach up? But aren't you glad tonight that He'll use me and He'll use you to accomplish His purpose? Man, what a privilege, what an honor to be used by God. I want men's hands laid on my head, but I want God's hand on my head. And if by God's grace, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage, maybe we can get some help so we can be a blessing in other people's lives. As you look through the passage, when Jesus Christ, obviously He read this guy's number and He knew how to tackle this lawyer here that was trying to justify himself. And by the way, verse number 29, you're either going to try to justify yourself all your life, or you're going to make up your mind you're going to justify God. In other words, you're going to try to find out where you're right and everybody else is wrong, you, and you're entitled, and you're righteous, and you do this, and you deserve this, and you're going to blame God for things in your life. Either one of the two, or you're going to say, you know what, God is good all the time. God is righteous in all His judgments. Everything He, however He treats me, is fine. I'm not responsible for how the Lord treats me. Do I need to remind us sometimes the Lord can hurt our feelings? He still loves you. He still loves you more than you can even imagine. Because God is love and God is good. You're either going to spend your life justifying yourself or justifying God. Jesus knew this, so He began to tell the story, and I just want to look at three things here. First of all, I want you to see in verse number 30, as we examine our own lives, we can fit in one of or three of these categories. First of all, we see in verse number 30, the putter-downers. You see that? It's in the Greek. So what is that? Confederate English, I guess. The putter-downers. Look in verse number 30. The Bible says, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Notice there's a certain man. Who's this guy? Obviously it pictures Adam who fell. But obviously it pictures anybody. You think about somebody that leaves Jericho, which is the city of peace. Jerusalem, which is the city of peace, and he goes down to Jericho. If you look on the map, he'd be going up. But in topography, he's going about 3,500 feet down, about 18 miles. He's leaving where he should be, and he's going where he shouldn't be. He's leaving the city of blessing, he's leaving the city of peace, and he's going to an accursed city. He fell, a certain man fell. You know what will happen to you if you just sit and you don't do anything? You will just go down. What happens when you don't go to the gym for a while? You start, you know, bulking up, right? No. The bulk turns to flab. the muscle turns to mush. God's given us that book, and God's given us preaching to interject Himself into our life to bring up that depraved, fallen nature. Left to ourselves, we fall. This guy fell. All of us are fallen. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, we've missed the mark. We're not sinless, we're sinful. The man fell. A certain man. No details about it. You don't have to traffic in the trash. I'm sure people were on Facebook sharing pictures about him. I saw him over there. Did you see him, you know? And I know you just do it to keep up with your family gossip. I mean family. I'm sure you don't traffic and look at things you shouldn't look at when somebody shares this picture and that picture and all of a sudden somebody's your friend that you don't even know and all of a sudden these expletives and God knows what's coming over the thing and then you begin to, because you're so holy, not to traffic in the trash. We don't have to discuss how bad this guy is because we're all bad. You know, the attitude of just looking down on people, the attitude of being a putter-downer has infected our Christian belief. Do we not forget where we were? Do we not forget what we would have been had it not been the grace of God, had it not been the mercy of God, had it not been the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses all sin? We would be just where this guy was. You had the putter-downers. You have a certain man, then you've got certain men. You know, there are some people out there just waiting for you to quit church. There are some people out there just waiting for you to start hanging around them. There are some people at work just waiting for you to start, you know, just kind of, you know, getting used to being around them and talking the stuff with them and, you know, put your Christianity, just leave that at church and just join the after-work party and just kind of get along the people of the world. There are plenty of certain men out there that are ready to pull you down. They're waiting for you. Matter of fact, there's more of them than us. That's why meetings like this are so important. That's why Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night are so important. That's why we try to focus on our camaraderie as believers in Christ and exhort one another so much the more as you see a day approaching because there's more of them than us. There's more bad influences than good influences. There's more wickedness than godliness. There's more trash than truth. So there's a certain man, but there's certain men, they're thieves. You know what they'll do? They'll steal from you. They will rob you of your joy. They will rob you of your peace. They will rob you of your fellowship with Jesus Christ if you let them. You better watch them. Notice they steal from them. Notice also in verse number 30, they wounded him. Some people get wounded to the point where they don't return. Kind of like Ahab when he got wounded by the archers. Saul, when he got wounded by the archers. You read about some of those texts. They get a wound, and maybe in modern times, like you study some of the old wars like the Civil War, you just got a small gunshot in the Civil War, that thing could develop into something real bad. Sometimes a small wound in church, the fact that you were just rude to somebody because, you know, you had a flat tire. Sometimes a small wound in church being a putter-downer, it can have ramifications and get that person where they're wounded and they don't recover from it. So he's wounded, and notice the Bible says he left him half dead. Thank God it said half dead, because you know what? You have a free will. That's a good verse for your Calvinist. I don't know if I'd fit the T-U-L-I-P, but it fits somewhere in there. You know, God gives us a free will. And so here he is. He's been a putter-downer. God didn't put us here just to put people down. Brother Sam did a great job this morning. All the preachers did. Man, I was just sitting there amazed, one right after the other. And the preacher was right. If you wasn't here this morning, get those messages and listen to them. It will help you. And it was really great how he pointed out just a little bit on certain things will go a long way. And that's how it is sometimes with us preachers. You know, we're going to preach on sin. Amen. There's some stuff in my life, stuff in your life, we need to preach against it, and it's in us, and it's going to come out. I don't have to develop a whole message on the sin of your heart, because if you got any preach in you, you're going to preach on it. But you know, a little bit of that goes a long way. Amen. telling somebody they're rotten and they stink and they're no good and they're trash, that goes a long way, folks. Being a putter-downer, I know sometimes we need a negative. Sometimes the coach needs to get on to the kids, right? Now I guess you'd have a lawsuit. God forbid you let somebody lose a ball game. I mean, surely when Jimmy comes up to bat, he gets a home run every time because it wouldn't be fair for him not to get a home run. I understand that a coach sometimes has to tighten up a little bit. Hey, you big dummy. You messed up. You called me a big dummy. Yeah, sometimes you need a little bit. But you know, a little bit of that will go a long way. Sometimes a little bit of that reproof and rebuke goes a long way. You know what I need? You know what you need? Kind of like Job. And Job was at a bottom point. You know when his friends came around, they were putter-downers. His friends, all they can do is say, if you'd have done this, that wouldn't have happened. If your kids would have done that, that wouldn't have happened. All they could do is look at their paradigm, what they had invented as far as what they thought God was like. Their vision of God was not based on absolute truth. It was based on their own idea. Their own ideals. And so they set that up and they were just putter downer. And Job says, if I was in your stead, I would strengthen you with my words. If I was in your stead and you were in my place, I would assuage your grief. I would try to encourage you. You know what we need in this day and age? We need some encouragement. I know you're wicked. So am I. I don't think you need me to tell you that 500 times before the service is over, but we need some encouragement in here. You need to know that it means something to serve God. It's worth it to read that Bible. It's worth it to pass out a gospel tract. It's worth it to show up to church on Sunday morning. It means something to God. Stay with it. Be encouraged. Put her downers, man. That stuff, a little bit, goes a long way. Notice if we continue in the passage. He left him half dead, verse number 31. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite. Here we have the second group in our text. The passerbyers. That's found in the Aramaic. I don't know if you... See, I have one of these editions. It's the Dean of Students edition. The passerbyers. Here we have the priest. He comes down and he has the rites of religion. Notice what it says in verse number 31. By chance there came down a certain priest. As opposed to verse 33 when it says a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. This guy's not on a journey. This guy, for some reason, he left where he was supposed to be, Jerusalem, and he's going in the same direction as the thieves and as the guy who had fell. And by chance, he's just going in this direction. For some reason, he left where he's supposed to be, and he's going in this direction here, and the Bible makes that comparison between him and the Good Samaritan. And he comes down, I believe he represents the rites of religion, because the Bible calls him a priest. Of course, this would represent the Old Testament priesthood, and so forth. The Bible says here that he comes down, verse number 31, when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He sees him with the eyes, but he doesn't see him with the heart. You ever notice that you can be going down the road and two people can see the same thing and it means two different things to them? In other words, somebody can see a same beautiful sunset, but they're really not seeing it. They may see it physically, but they don't appreciate it. There's no depth to what they're taking in. This guy sees the man laying over here in definite need of help, but he just sees him with his eyes. Doesn't see him with his heart. Oh, he has the duties of religion. He knows how to go in and perform the ceremonies. He knows how to do things outwardly. He knows how to get by where everybody can see that he, quote unquote, is righteous. Kind of like the lawyer. The lawyer in verse number 27, he answered. Look what Jesus says. Thou hast answered right. This guy was a Bible student and a Bible scholar. You know, you can have the Bible right, but your heart not be right. Similar to what Brother Sam was preaching this morning, you can have all these mysteries and know all these interesting things about the Bible. I've got a book in my office called, it's a book of Bible facts. You know who wrote it? Isaac Asimov, an atheist. It's a book of Bible facts. You can fill your head with all kind of interesting things about the Bible. You can have them and know exactly what to do and maybe answer right and go through the rites of religion without a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, you may go through some motions of religion. You may see some things outwardly, but do you see the need inwardly? You've got to see your need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've got to see your need as we apply this to ourselves instead of just being a passive buyer. It's one thing to know that you need to be someone that helps others, but it's another thing to have a conviction about it. Notice not only the rites of religion, we see the priest, but the rules of religion, we see the Levite. Verse number 32, likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on it and passed by on the other side. Notice what it says in 32, he came and looked on him. The priest, it's almost like he sees him from afar and he goes on, but the Levite, he's at least a little bit interested. It's like when you're driving down the road and you see a wreck. You break your neck because you're in, and you wonder why everybody's going behind. Why is all this traffic slowing down? It's not because everybody's out in the way. They've got it all cleared up. It's just because everybody's slowing down to look over there because they're trying to see some gory stuff. Don't get me off on that. I am sick and tired of the violence in our society. The Bible speaks about the last days, like in the times of Noah. The whole earth was filled with violence. Everything's got to be blood and guts. Everything's got to be violent. It's got to be wicked. It's got to be twisted. And the eye always just wants to see it and wants to just wallow in it. This Levite, he saw it, and he wanted to go down and just check it out. He might have walked around to see if he could hear him groaning, you know. He might have even got his phone out and took a video of it. The rites of religion, the rules of religion. He came and looked. He studied it, but he didn't go where the guy was. You know, we don't need to be passerbyers. Literally, there are hundreds of people dying without Jesus Christ and going to hell. There are hundreds of Christians that have gotten out of fellowship with the Lord and they need some encouragement. They need somebody to say, hey, I'll pray for you about that. Let me pray with you. Let me bring you along a little bit. There are some people that need just a little lifting up. Just a little encouragement. But instead, we just pass by. We might want to look at them and say, I'm glad I ain't down there. But a passerbyer is not going to help anything. Put her down as passerbyers. Let's get to the good part. Verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Here's the lifter-upper. I believe this Samaritan pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. A Samaritan was a half-Jew, half-Gentile. When you think about Jesus Christ, he had two natures. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thank God that he was the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. What does that mean? That means when he was born in a manger, that's God being born in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He couldn't save you if he wasn't God. But thank God he's also the Son of Man. He has two natures. He couldn't save you if he wasn't a man. The Bible says he has compassion on us and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. One of the greatest passages to me that speaks to me personally is John chapter 11 when he goes to the tomb of Lazarus and it's just two words. You say, what in the world is the difference between Martha and Mary? And the preacher's got some great messages on that. You need to get them and listen to them. But I think when you look in John chapter 11, they both ask the same thing, but they get different answers. And I believe when you look at that, Mary, when she asked the question, she's at his feet. And then after that, the Bible says Jesus wept. He's a man. He understands the compassion. You talk about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan in type is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is good. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ isn't a putter-downer. Yeah, he would preach the truth and tell you the truth, but why would he tell you the truth that might be negative? He would tell you something negative so he can give you something positive. He'd show you where you are so he can show you where he can take you. It's not that we want to tell people they're going to hell because we want to see them go to hell. We tell them they're going to hell so they can be taken to heaven one day. We want them to see their condition as a fallen person so they can be lifted up by Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan. He's the lifter-upper. You know, I'm glad when the brethren want to put you down, Jesus lifts you up. I'm glad when the brethren say, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Like they did in John chapter number 9. They cast him out, the blind man. Jesus found him after they cast him out. I'm glad that Jesus is the lifter upper. Notice that he has compassion. Verse number 33. Notice the Bible says he went to him. He came to us. God is my co-pilot. I get God to help me out every now and again. I finally found God. God was never lost. I understand what people mean by that. But God found you. He saw you in your sin. He saw you tripping over yourself. He saw you making some mistakes and sometimes bad mistakes, forever decisions. And in His mercy and His grace and His compassion and His love, He came to where you are. And He hung on that cross and He bled and died for your sins. And He rose again from the dead to justify you before God. And just like that song they sang, He lives. He is alive. And you know the great thing about Jesus? He's still the Good Samaritan. He still has compassion. He still has concern. And you know He'll still come to you. He'll come to where you are. He can have compassion. Notice the Bible says in verse number 34, He went to him and bound up his wounds. I like that. Think about the story of the prodigal son. Whenever the father sees him, the first thing he does is give him a big bear hug. Next thing he does, he starts covering up all that stuff. He says, we don't need anybody to see you like this. He puts shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger and gets him all cleaned up. Nobody can clean you like Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Thank God. He pours in, the Bible says, look at it. Verse number 34, pouring in oil and wine. I think about the soothing of the oil, and I think about the cleansing of the wine. Yeah, there's some burn to it. I know you get those cuts on you and you pour on that alcohol, and there's got to be some burn so that thing cleans out a little bit. But once it gets wrapped up and you put some stuff on it, you can have some soothing to the wound. And yeah, I know you make some forever decisions. You make some things in your life, and sometimes you have to reap in the flesh some of the things you've done. And yes, God will forgive you. God will save you and take you to heaven. But sometimes some things happen in your life that wound you and scar you. Thank God that He wraps them up. And He can take that sting out of it. And He will give you grace to get through it. You know what He'll give you grace? He'll even give you grace to forgive yourself. So I have compassion on all these people. Why don't you have some compassion on yourself? Anybody do this? Bible believers are the world's worst critics. Not only are we critics of everybody else, but oftentimes we're critics. I'm not saying, you know, you just need to slack up. But sometimes, man, we give ourselves such a hard time. The Lord says, I've forgiven you. Why don't you just forgive yourself? I washed it away. I cleansed you from that. I've given you a new life in Christ. Why don't you not just get over it? Why don't you get through it? You can't always get over everything, but by God's help and God's grace, you can get through it. And so He pours in the oil and wine and He wraps up the wound there. And notice that He not only calms him and has compassion and cares and cleanses him, notice that He carries him. Verse number 34. He set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. Guy couldn't walk himself, so he started walking for him. Sometimes we expect Christians immediately to get everything fixed. As soon as I got saved, I quit chewing. You didn't quit gossiping. How many guns you have? How many four-wheelers you have? You didn't quit covetousness. Oh man, that was a bad one, wasn't it? You can't wait for those catalogs to come in the mail. Well, I don't know if people even get mail anymore. All the illustrations are having to change now, man. Everything's changing on us. But you know, we expect people just to change overnight. And we think, they should be up running. How come they're not walking by, 3 months old? The Lord says, I know when as soon as you get saved, you can't walk, so I'm going to let you crawl for a little bit. And I'm going to give you some milk, and you can suck on the bottle for a little bit. You know, the milk is still good. The milk of the Word is still good. It's still good just to know that Jesus died for me, that I can be saved by grace through faith and the finished work of Christ. It's still good to know that He's coming back one day, and I have a home in heaven. I don't have to know all the dimensions of New Jerusalem and how... I wonder how big the oyster was that had to produce that pearl. That's one of the doctrines. I bet there's a secret on the top of the pinnacle of the temple that will tell me how big that oyster... Some of you are like, what is he talking about? You don't even need to know. All you need to know, if you're saved, he's preparing a place for you. That's good enough for me. He carries us. We take those little steps and He carries us. He takes us to the end. I think about the church as being the end. You know, the church ought to be the hospital for the soul. People ought to be able to come in here. Maybe they're not used to church. That's okay to not be used to it. But they ought to feel welcome. They ought to be able to come in. It's a place Jesus says, why don't you just kind of slide in there and you can sit there for a while and listen to the preaching, listen to the Bible, hear some of these songs. I mean, sometimes people open a hymn book and they don't understand, okay, when you sing the top one, you move down to the second bar. They just think you go straight down to the thing. They're not used to those things. Things we take for granted. He says, I'm also going to bring them into the inn where they can get around a bunch of other Christians, maybe some people that are a little more spiritual, that can pull them along, and that'll encourage them to heal up, to get better, to get some strength, where then they can go out and be a lifter-upper. You know, if somebody lift you up like Jesus lifted this guy up, you'd be wanting to help others get up. Because you'd be so overwhelmed to what Jesus did for you, you'd want Him to do it for everybody else. There's a carrying, there's a carrying. And thank God there's a coming again. Verse number 35. He takes him to the inn. He says, look, you take care of him. I'm on my journey. I got things I got to do. I kind of think he had other people he had to go lift up. I think the Lord had him, some other places, and he's like, I got to go take care of some other business, but when I come back, I'll take care of it. I'll settle up. You know, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's not tarrying either. So what do I mean? I know we use that term because for us, he's tarrying, but Jesus isn't tarrying. He's coming back just on schedule. You know what they say? Has it ever occurred to you nothing has ever occurred to God? God never says, He's never taken by surprise. He knows exactly when He's coming. Everything's on schedule. He's got it all under control. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. He's above the sky. Who cares? He's got it all under control. He said He's going to return. He's going to come back. He's going to take us home to heaven one day. That's a promise in His Word. We just have to trust Him. You'll notice the period. There's two pence, maybe representing those 2,000 years. You'll notice the payment. There's a payment involved. I believe after the Lord comes, there's going to be a time of rewards. There's going to be a time where He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then He gives His promise. I will come again, when I come again. And finally, in 36 and 37, Jesus Christ brings His conclusion of His story. And this is where He does the Aikido move and turns everything back on the lawyer. Verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he lets the lawyer answer. If you were to look at these groups here, the thieves, the putter-downers, the Levite and the priest, the passerbyers? Who would you think was the neighbor? And the guy answers right in verse 37, he that showed mercy on him. We must discern the parable. And then verse 37, we must do the deeds of the parable. We must, as believers in Jesus Christ, find application. Not just to say, oh, Jesus is the Good Samaritan. We can whoop it up. We can shout it out. Thank God that He lifted us up. And thank God He did what He did. And He came for us. But we should be concerned about those that have fallen. The Bible says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Galatians chapter number 6. And look, I know you can't rescue everybody. I know the Bible says He left him half dead. In other words, this guy still had a pulse. I know there are places and there are things where people get to a point of no return. That does happen. But that shouldn't negate the fact that we, as believers in Christ, should say, hey, I know somebody that can lift you up if you'll take him. We're not the answer. Jesus is the answer. However, just like has been preached all through the meeting here, He chooses to use us, if we're willing, to be a servant. Say, okay, Lord, I want to be a lifter-upper, not a putter-downer. You know, I don't know if they do it here in this community, but in some communities, the civic groups will get together with the road committees and so forth, and they'll adopt a part of a highway. It might be a mile or two, and maybe a certain civic club will adopt a part of a highway, and it'll say, this mile maintained by such and such organization. This mile maintained, and they'll keep it clean, they'll keep things picked up, so on and so forth. You know, God has entrusted all of us with a little stretch of the highway. We're all at different places in our lives, we're all in different places, and God's given us a little piece of the highway. We can either be a putter-downer, a passerbyer, or we can be a lifter-upper. There are a lot of people falling off of the highway. There are a lot of people hurt, abused, downtrodden by sin and destroying their lives. And hopefully, through looking at this passage, we can say, God, not only are You the Good Samaritan, but I want to be a Good Samaritan and take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who need to be lifted up. And also take a word of encouragement for Christian brothers and sisters that get put out in the ministry, or they get wore out and tired. And they just need somebody to say, you know what, why don't you come back to church? You know, your pew's still there. Come on. Nobody's going to say anything. Come on, get back. You never know what God might do with somebody that says, I just want to lift you up a little bit instead of put you down. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the great passage in the Scriptures. I pray, Lord, that we may find application personally. Lord, I want to be a lifter-upper, not a putter-downer. God, so many times I point the finger and say the rude things or think the rude things instead of realizing this person needs Jesus. Lord, some Christians, they get turned sideways in their life because of things that have happened, and maybe they just got hurt. And it might have been their own fault for getting hurt. Lord, maybe we could just encourage them. Maybe we could just lift them up a little bit. Father, I pray that we may point them to the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that You can heal up the wounds. You can bind up the brokenhearted. God, I pray that You'd help us to go with that message. We ask it for Jesus' sake.